Happy Halloween!
Welcome to Rolling Imperfection, the spookiest podcast of them all. Happy Halloween to all you boys and ghouls and various other types of abominations and critters. I am Kevin, your undead maestro.
And I'm Steve, the Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing's a hero. Steve.
Ah, crap, we're in the wrong episode.
That's what happens when
you don't know the material you reference. Shit.
True.
Oh, crap. Oh, well.
Perfect.
It is what it is.
Perfect. Welcome back to our completely unscuffed podcast, everyone.
He's a hero, really?
Yeah.
What?
Well, sort of. He's not a villain.
Oh, okay. Well, darn.
There we go.
Like, all the things I could have referenced, and I apparently bullseyed the wrong one.
That's all right. It's all right. He fluctuates between hero and, like, amoral, so.
Oh, okay.
And, like, not amoral in, like, the sociopathic sense, amoral in the, like, without morals sense. But, yeah. So, Steve, how we doing?
We're doing pretty good. I'm sorry, you can't hear it, but I'm just like blanking and staring and blinking after thinking about last session. Yeah, great. Yay.
Yeah.
Still,
I mean,
even though we already mentioned that, but
we
that
did.
Same episode, but still, it's just like,
I mean, we're recording this like 2 days after the previous episode. So unlike a lot of them where we're like, oh yes, it's been like a month for us. This one, it's like, nope, still kind of in a similar headspace. Although we did watch The Witch together.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did. Which Monster was not really a fan of, but I definitely enjoyed it more than he did. But I don't know if I enjoyed it quite as much as you enjoy it, but...
let's be honest. That's a high bar. It's high bar.
Oh, it's a high bar? Okay.
I really enjoy it. For, partially personal reasons. Partially because I think it's just... It is really well put together. So, yeah. But yeah, Steve, what are we talking about today?
I mean, we're talking about doing an evil campaign and getting all your villains together and having them run and, you know, make a... that thought process just ended. I was going to say destroying the town, trying to think of a fancy way to say that, and it just didn't happen. Well,
painting the town red with actual blood.
There you go. I was looking for something along those lines that just didn't happen, didn't come together.
The way you put it together, I was like, yeah, let's get all the villains and this stuff together. 3, 2, 1, let's blend.
Villain version of Cowboy Bebop? Sure.
I mean.
Or what's that mean? Is it from Seinfeld where they have all the guys in the car and they're just kind of like swinging their heads? Except you have like all your villains.
Maybe. I'm not actually sure I'm familiar with that meme.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, no, we are talking... campaigns where the player characters / protagonists are villainous or villains outright.
Yep. Or the villains.
The villains. And I feel like we're going to be like implicitly saying don't be murder hobos this whole episode, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's very easy to go to. It's like, oh, you're a villain. That's the thing you do. And I mean, like, good villains have reasons for doing the things that they do, even if, you know, it seems like they're just doing it because they enjoy it. There are things that, like a villain may be like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I like, you know, hanging people. But, like, they usually have some sort of, like, specific, like, situation or, like, steps they need to follow in order for them to get their enjoyment out of that. So they're just going to go around and, you know, like, get a bunch of people to, like, you know, like, go to the gallows, essentially. They're going to like figure out, that's a bad example, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like, or Sunny This Road. That's a better
one.
It's
not a bad example.
Not a bad example, but yeah. But essentially like they have like a set, like act or whatever, or ritual that they enjoy or that they're not going to just go and just be like, oh yeah, you know, like, you know, It's like, how many people did I end today? Like 15? Not enough. Let me get more. I need to get more like 30 or 40 today for me to feel satisfied. There's usually not like quantity. It's quality, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you're getting at is they're still going to have backstories. You're still going to have, honestly, fairly similar like arcs to what's going on. They'll just have different ends, basically. It's just the morality and a lot of the permissible things are skewed, right?
Yeah. I also meant in terms of being a murder hobo that you aren't necessarily going to do that as a villain character all the time, because sometimes something doesn't go your way and it just ruins the moment, as it were. And
yeah,
you just don't have the interest in, you know, killing somebody this time. That happens all the time with like well-written villains, is it sometimes just like, oh, you know, I was really hoping to like woo this girl and make her fall in love with me. And then once she fell in love with me, then I was going to kill her. And then, you know, like they find out that, oh, they didn't convince her. They're just, you know, like in the moment for a brief moment, then they really love this other man. It's like, oh, well, fuck, I guess I need to get that man to fall in love with me and then kill him first. Then he gets the girl. Or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, I 100% get it. I mean, I do think that it's important to have thought through your villain, especially if you want to have like a longer running story driven campaign. I mean, some of my favorite stories center around villainous characters. I think villains can be really cool. Villains, you know, there's the classic line, you know, villains have more fun, which I think is partially true. But yeah,
partially true.
Yeah. So I generally think that's a good idea, and we'll come back to that in kind of our things to keep in mind section. But I wanted to start off with like campaign ideas, or I guess this is also like potential backstory ideas. But yeah, because I do think you want to have unique villainy throughout your team as well, right? You don't want all the villains doing one thing. So yeah, much like heroes, they need to have variety. But as far as getting the villains and their stuff together, I think that does require a little bit of a central campaign idea, because villains are by nature solitary, feisty, uncooperative. You know?
I was going to say they think mostly of themselves a lot of time, or whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. They're very indulged in that one thing, usually.
Selfish, single-minded.
Yeah, yeah, true. All the above.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of why they're fun. You get to like revel in it, right? Heroes, well, there are a lot of arrogant heroes, but they don't get called out on their bullshit quite as much. You know, because heroes are right and villains are wrong by nature. I actually think that's one of the best things in the Loki series, where he's just like, okay, so wait, they're heroes. So when they do a thing, it's automatically right. And when I do a thing, it's automatically wrong. That's why it's the best Disney Plus Marvel show. But he does still have his own thing to do in that. But yeah, the general campaign ideas, I mean, you can just do a villains being villains, and I think it can work out well. I mean, you know, you might have your take over the world, of course, where I think that's most interesting when it might actually be a good thing, you know?
Oh yeah, I totally, like, as soon as you said that, the one thing that came to mind, it's not a horror theme, but Code Geass, which is an anime where basically the main character gets this special power, and he decides that he wants to take over the world because he wants to make it basically a better place for his disabled sister. And like, that's basically the whole plot. He's just like, I just want to like take over everything, conquer it, because I know I can. I have the intelligence to do so. And now that I have the power to do so, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to essentially make it a better place through brute force and horrible, horrible war and murder and other things. He's totally a villain. But yeah.
Sounds similar to when Dr. Doom takes over the world and
uh-oh.
There's peace on Earth. It's a weird peace because he's essentially just fascistically mind controlling everyone, but peace, you know?
Ah, I was going to say, something's not right there.
Yeah. It's that's Emperor Doom, not God Emperor Doom. That's later, Emperor Doom. but yeah, there is of course always the classic, slightly pettier, steal some things slash thing. You know, got to get the stuff.
My mind's wandering all over today. I was imagining the movie The Stuff.
Oh no, no, different thing.
Yeah, different thing. Yeah, no. You mean more like you have like a group of thieves that like steal something and then get into a bunch of trouble because they're a bunch of thieves or something.
I mean, probably a variety. But yeah, this is essentially we do crime because we eventually want to just not do crime and like retire on a beach somewhere, you know?
Okay,
quite
yeah.
Frequently, this can literally be a hero narrative too. But, you know, it is a classic villain one too. So, yeah. Speaking of hero narratives, Vengeance. Yeah, that's for villains as well. I think Vengeance is a great motivation, and villains, well,
they take it too
villains
far.
Then get, yeah, and they get to deal with collateral damage.
True.
Like the hero is like, oh no, I'm going to try to prevent collateral damage. The thing about villains, they often don't care, and it often bites them in the ass, you know?
Yep. Yep. They make things worse.
Definitely makes things worse. They might want to restore, regain, claim more of power, you know, power for its own sake.
Power.
Yes. Often ends up a little hollow, I think. And I think that's definitely something to play with. Honestly, I might even almost start a campaign like that with a seasoned group of players. Like, you know, you've achieved ultimate power. Now what? Might be kind of a fun miniseries.
Oh, see, what I thought you were going for was, like, in the very, like, episode zero or whatever, you have the would-be villains gain access to a very strong power, and then they lose it, and they're trying to reacquire it out of, like, sheer desire.
That's the original one I was going with.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. But you could also do it the other way if you wanted to flip it.
Oh, okay. I like the next one. I think that one's probably my favorite out of this list, in all honesty. Like,
oh, really?
Because it's a more human. It's very human.
Oh, yeah. Saving a loved one. I put the Doom way, because whenever I think of Doom, he's tried to save his mother. You know, gotta take a trip to hell, get your mom's soul back from Satan. It's just how it is.
I think that one leads into... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh,
I thought you were done.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say is like, I really like it because like it does add like a type of humanity to the characters because you're trying to save like a person. So it like instills in their minds that, hey, you're not just like a mindless monster. Like you have clear goals. You're trying to help someone in a way. But at the same time, you are willing to do pretty much anything to get that. So your characters might be like, oh, I have to like, you know, kill like 100 people here, innocent people in order to achieve my goal. I'll do it. But they may not be doing that when they don't have to, because like, why would they? You know, they're still thinking of, you know, life, and they understand like death and the cause of it. If they're trying to save someone, if it's something they're trying to bring back from the dead.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it just like, that one is probably like a really good one just to like throw in for characters that you want to try and not be murder hobos.
Yeah.
Just because the humanity's there.
Also, you get the fun reaction of the loved one to the atrocities they've committed. Saving them. Yeah.
Yeah. The reflection afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's also just the, they don't have to be dead. They could be, you know, captured or something else like that. There are a variety of ways of doing this. Doesn't have to be like a significant other. Can be a family member. Can be like a friend.
You can go the Mr. Freeze route and have them like, you know, basically in a coma.
Oh man, sorry. the Harley Quinn animated show did some interesting stuff with Victor and Nora Freeze. So.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah, speaking of Swamp Thing, there Swamp Thing's in some of that arc. But yeah. Actually, I think honestly that whole show is a really good example. Although, admittedly, like Harley and Ivy do kind of become more heroes than villains. But it has enough villainous stuff that I think is interesting that I think it's a good example of a villain campaign. Or what a villain campaign can be.
You could totally have like a group of heroes that are like so bad they basically become like it almost becomes a villain campaign. Your first Silent Spiral almost ended up that way. We did some pretty bad shit.
I mean, it's a film noir campaign. Protagonists are all
true, but still, I mean, you would expect, you know, the detective that's trying to find out what's going on, and falls into, you know, like absolute despair as he finds out like what's really going on and gets himself in too deep. That's noir, but him deciding to like, you know, like take people out along the way is a little bit.
No, that's also noir, arms. Man. I need to show you more noir. That's also noir.
Oh, okay.
Noir is the genre where it's like, heroes and villains. Are they different? Are they that different?
Oh, okay.
Oftentimes that's the point of the story. So saving a loved one. Good. I think survival is also an interesting one. Usually in this case, their method of surviving is by eliminating someone, something, some population else, you know?
So that'd be like the contrast of like Godzilla is destroying because they're like ruining his habitat, whereas like the mutants are just like, we just want to survive and be left alone. So, but they also help people. So,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, depending on which mutants.
Well, I guess depending on which, X-Men you're talking about, but yeah.
Well, Magneto's Brotherhood are mutants fighting for survival by murdering humans.
True. Actually, true.
I think you did hit on a good one there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, these are kind of just some basic ones. As we mentioned, like a lot of these weren't that different from Heroes, really, if you think about it. It's how they go about things that's going to make it different. It's what is permissible that's going to make it different, you know?
Yeah. I also did want to say, I feel like, I haven't run a villain campaign. So, and actually, we haven't played a villain campaign either. But I feel like it would be maybe easier because instead of having to do like, you know, a very intelligent, crafty villain that hides his tracks well, but you still want the players to kind of like find out, you know, a little bit about what's going on along the way and then still have them imposing, but not have them be like so strong. You instead get to have a, you know, hero as their villain or as the enemy that might be chasing them. And they could, you know, if you want to be predictable and such, and it's almost like, you know, a game for them to play with this so-called hero. If you wanted, you don't have to do like the super intelligent, like detective that's always on their heels, but you can. I just feel like it might be a little bit easier to set up. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, villains are also very proactive. So your players, like it's going to be, true. You're going to need to meet with your players and figure out what they want to do and what they're going to do a lot more. So it's actually more interactive. And in that way, it might be tougher to plan by needing to do like less planning, but also more like improvising and more just kind of preparation.
Okay.
For general things. Hmm. So, yeah. But there's also some of the more curveball. It's not quite right. Different than just a villain campaign. There's the villains being forced to be heroes campaign. The, I guess, Megamind campaign. Which can provide interesting stuff because villains have different motivations. And when trying to be heroes, they have different methods. And you get a little bit more of the anti-hero flavor. Brings to mind Superior Spider-Man, where Dr. Octopus takes over Peter Parker's body and essentially is kind of like, he's like, no, I'm going to be a villain. And then he kind of is like forced to be a hero. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Might be a good backstory for one of the villains forced to be heroes. There is, of course, the redemption arc, where one or more villains decides to reform, which is sort of what happens in the first and original arc of the Thunderbolts comic. I don't think it's going to happen in the Thunderbolts movie because I don't know. I won't talk about it here. but those essentially, in the future, hope it was good, but I was disappointed by the list of characters they're using.
So the appeal of the redemption arc would basically be like old habits die hard and having to like separate yourself from like those bad habits, desires, other whatever it was that was tempting you to be a villain in the first place.
Yeah. So basically what happens with the Thunderbolts is the Thunderbolts start off as we're the masters of evil pretending to be a new group of superheroes. And we're going to pretend to be heroes until we're established enough that they trust us. And then we're going to betray everyone. The complication is a couple of the villains are like, wait, but we get treated way better as heroes. Like, people like us. Saving people feels kind of good. So it's actually some of the best character arcs in comics that come out of that one. So, yeah.
Hmm.
It's very interesting. It does. That would definitely take like a group of players who are committed. Like, I would never put M in that campaign. Never in a million years.
Oh, yeah, no. He'd would be just like, go full dark side.
Yeah, well, he'd be like, yes, we'll go, and then they'll betray me, and then I'll betray them! And it's like, no, that like defeats the purpose. Yeah. So this isn't for everyone. there's also the last villain standing, which is even more complicated, but very geared towards M, where essentially you have a campaign full of barely held together characters, like all my campaigns. I hate the tavern meeting, hire everyone. So I use plot circumstances to force a group together. And oftentimes it's very tenuous, dear listener. But this would also be tenuous because essentially the end game of this campaign is that each player character villain fights to the death. There's the person who ends up being the leader of the world. And whether the characters are killed or like convinced to be on their side or like, I don't know, fucking mind controlled or something. it's a ride, and it's once again, dedicated group of players.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure where you were going with this one. If you were going with like the player characters would be against one another, or if it was going to be like, there's like different organizations that were competing against each other for, you know, control, and your player group is like, they're on a team, but they're fighting other villains, and you know, like the world's going to burn either way, whether they win or not.
You could always do that one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you don't want the PvP, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, villains getting another complicated. Villain. Yeah. Villains getting another villain's way is like fucking also classic.
Normal.
Yeah. but yeah, those are kind of the general ideas that I think are good to run with. I do think it's good. Honestly, I think this almost more than anything else, it's good to have maybe connected backstories too, you know? Maybe the villains have like shared heroes they fight, or, you know, a particular like branch of the government that they've all tangled with, or they've all been thrown out of the same like villainous secret society or something, you know?
I was immediately thinking of like, I mean, it's quite common to have, at least in anime, like where, I mean, Fate is a good example of this. It's very similar, but I was thinking of like Recreators, where you have like a bunch of like heroes pulled in from another world. And that could be like their shtick of like being similar, is you could have instead a bunch of villains pulled in from other dimensions, stories, worlds, whatever it may be. And now they're all here. And that's something they kind of share at the same time, as they're not familiar with this place. But, you know, now they want to do whatever it was that they're trying to accomplish in their individual goals. They're on unclaimed territory.
I like that. I actually have, I had a multiverse kind of idea like that, where there's one universe. So basically you have two characters in this basic plot. You probably have more characters, but ostensibly the easiest way to explain this is with two characters. So you have two characters in one world. In one world, the character A got picked up by the villain organization. Character B got picked up by the heroic organization. In Parallel World 2, I shouldn't use letters the same. character A got picked up by whatever the opposite organization I said, and vice versa. And then you have kind of a dimensional swap where both heroes end up in one place, both villains end up in the other, but they don't quite trust each other ever. Because they're always like, wait, but I've been like fighting you for a while, you know?
Oh,
so that might be
okay.
An interesting idea, right? you end up with two villains, and they're both here. Like, the one is the hero in the other's universe, and vice versa, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like, you're teaming up with your rival, and you're both good, but, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I horribly butchered that explanation by overcomplicating it.
No, yeah, it was a little bit hard to, like, grasp what you were going for at first, but I think I understand, yeah. Essentially, man, I don't know if I want to reiterate it completely, but
hang
basically,
on. I think I can do it. I think I could do it simply.
I was just gonna like say you have like Lex Luthor and Superman, but in an alternate dimension, Lex Luthor's the good guy, and Superman's the evil one, and now you have Lex Luthor and Superman in the same boat, but they're both good guys in this new setting, and then the evil ones are together. In the other one, but there was something that they were constantly fighting against each other, regardless of, you know, which perspective you're looking at. Yeah.
Yes. 100% exactly, Steve.
Yeah. Good luck conveying that on paper to someone. That'll be really complicated.
Yeah. It's tricky. I think you could with more specifics too. Like, I think it helped when you said like Superman. So there's like evil Superman and evil Lex Luthor, and then there's good Superman and good Lex Luthor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was saying like putting names to them might work a little bit better, especially if it was like a common name. I was going to go with Goku and Vegeta, but I was like, they already team up. Probably not a good example.
Better not make one of them like a frequent anti-hero.
Yeah.
Vegeta. Referenced in, I think, almost like at least two out of the three of the last four, three episodes.
And both times we went to that Mexican restaurant he was referenced. True. About being a good photographer. I don't know how that came up both times we were there.
So given all that, I think there are some things to keep in mind. Some of these we have definitely already mentioned. Villains still have feelings. Some people forget this. Even sociopaths have their own versions of feelings that can be hurt, manipulated, all that stuff. You know, you're not, I guess you could be a monstrosity, but even monstrosities have certain things that like affect them, you know?
Yeah.
So think about your character. You still have to think about like motivation, reasoning. You still have to think about what things they care about or what people they care about or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, you're still playing a character. How weird.
Thus, you can't be a murder hobo, or you shouldn't anyway.
Well, you're more than welcome to have your murder hobo campaign. I just don't think there's going to be like a great story to it.
I feel like it'd be fine to have like moments where your character is, you know, like in that mental state, I guess, where they just don't give a fuck, or, you know, they want to go on a murderous rampage. You are playing a villain after all. But I feel like it's not something that you should perpetually do, because then it just
that and the difference would be that you're going to get repercussions when you do that, and they're going to affect the character if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying don't kill a whole bunch of people. I'm just saying if you don't think about it, there will be consequences, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, that leads right into the next. The entire world isn't evil. So when you do evil things, people are like, oh, fuck. And you get reactions, you know? So it's not like your reactions are consequenceless, which is kind of the danger of murder hobos. And I guess you could have, like, evil world, but even then, I think you'd still have consequences, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, the first thing my mind went to was, like, they still had crimes in Nazi Germany, so.
True, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like, if you have a world that is all evil, then that means that every person is looking out for themselves and they're always going to try and screw somebody else over. So it's like thieves stealing from thieves, and essentially is that someone else is going to wrong you as well when you are at your weak point, or you're vulnerable, or they have an opportunity to, and they decide to, you know, take a chance and try and get one over on you. Especially as you collect more loot, is like the richer you get, the more appealing you become. So yeah, I mean, I guess you could do that, but I still don't know if I would want to do an entire world as evil.
Yeah, I mean, I think the general thing I was going for is if you're playing in like a more realistic campaign, your villains are probably going to have to act non-villainous in many situations, just because you can't just act like a crazy jackass constantly. Like, people, you know, the NPCs will look at you differently. The other players will treat you kind of like a time bomb. I mean, not to throw Nick under the bus. Nick, if you ever listen to this, it's just a thing. Like, oftentimes his characters are so jokey and act just like, oh, so nonchalant about stuff that the, like, all the other characters just, they're become a problem. You're just something to deal with and not anything like super interesting. It just becomes an obstacle, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to think. You have to think about what you're doing. And it's what my character would do is not always like a great excuse.
No, I completely agree. So there's like been times where like I've looked at my character and how I wrote them and went like, my character would obviously do this. But if I do that, then I'm not going to be a proactive character like we've talked about in the past. And so like sometimes the logical choice for your character is to like hold themselves up in their room or their cabin or whatever, or inside the group vehicle, whatever it may be, and just like not, you know, do something. But then that's not interesting if you're just not doing anything, you know, like you are playing a game, you should, you know, play the game, right? So same sort of thing is that you don't want to like necessarily just like become like you don't want to bend over backwards because it makes logical sense, but at the same time you also don't want to do the opposite and just do whatever the fuck you want because I'm gonna roll the dice and decide what my mood is. You know, like,
yeah,
like sometimes like take a moment and be like, you know, like this makes logical sense for my character. Should I do that or should I like engage the plot? There's been a lot of times where you've like put stuff out there and I'm like, I don't know if my character would normally go for this, but I'll bite the hook because I want to be proactive.
It becomes like a game of, can I think of a reason why my character would go for this?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of the way I always play. I'm always like, why would I be interested rather than like, what would my character do?
Yeah. It's like, that's bait. I know it's bait, but the person kind of wants to see what happens when I take the bait.
That's true.
How can I convince my character to take the bait?
Yeah. So yeah, villains are going to do villain things, but not all the time because they can't, because if they did villain things all the time, eventually the world will send tanks after you. It is kind of like GTA actually.
You heard it here. You got to have a star system. a bunch of tanks come after you and helicopters and military dudes because you just had to go and steal that tank. Or yeah. I guess now it's also fighter jets. Because they have the 3D ones. Yeah, you can take jets now.
How do you have to learn to pilot? Never mind. I don't need to know.
Nah. It's just GTA. You pilot anything.
Yeah. You jump in and your character is a fucking savant for wheel. Anyway, GTA games are fun. I played them myself. I know. That's also my argument for like murder hobo stuff. I'm like, why don't you just play GTA? Like,
yeah, okay. I guess that's true. Yeah. I mean, that's also like our viewpoint on like why we don't like non-story driven campaigns, because then it's like, why don't you just play a board game at that point?
Yeah, I could play a video game.
Yeah.
Also, as a GM, I don't like being like run, quote unquote, like a video game too, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. No, anyway.
Yeah.
Spooky, scary, fun. Woo. Yes.
GTA is not spooky, scary, fun.
I mean, it is. Like I said, like I've played GTA. It is fun for what it. Yeah. Anyway. You mentioned this earlier, though. Steve. Have strong heroes to oppose the villains. And I know we've used a lot of superhero examples, but this can be in like anything, you know, detective versus crook, evil necromancers versus, you know, heroic party, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, when you said detective, like, immediately I was thinking, it's like, well, you know, what if you don't have like a crook villain and you have like a superpower villain, but they're like the detective that also dabbles in like the occult arts and happens to have like just the right item to like isolate your power. If it's something that you've been like abusing too much, he's like, I've seen that enough and I know how to counteract it now. Is you got to make them think outside the box and do something like unique, I mean, or new with their powers, yeah, to defeat said detective or to deter them somehow.
Yeah. I mean, even beyond the one-to-one power thing, heroes usually have society and societal functions behind them. They have a police force. They have a military. They have a government, you know?
Yeah.
Villains, I guess, unless you're from Evilvania and the Kingdom of Evilton on the continent of Eviltopia, you know, you're not going to have that, the systems behind you. And that's what kind of makes villains a lot of the times really interesting, too, is they're very, they have to be more self-reliant. So
all I could think of when you said all those places named Evil, it was someone named Eve, and then their middle name is L, and their last name is Evil. So they're Evil, or Evil, Evil.
True.
Because why not?
Character forthcoming. I should put that character in Kids on Bikes. I feel like it would fuck with everyone.
oh, no.
But yeah. Having strong opposition can help with honestly making things interesting and also preventing murder hobo rampages, because you can't go on murder hobo rampages if you're just going to get locked up, killed, etc., you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's half of Vampire the Masquerade is like, no, you have to hide because vampire hunters and shit will come after you if you're too obvious, you know?
Yep.
It also helps the villains stay together, which is another thing you have to keep in mind. You have to have good motivations for the villains to stay together, which is why I recommend backstory crossing over and making sure your villains are probably have some significant forces just holding that group together and making sure Em doesn't stab everyone in the back and end the campaign. I apologize. A bit of my exasperation may have escaped in that statement.
I mean, you need to vent regularly about it, and we haven't talked about Em all that much lately. So
that's true. It's true. And Halloween's the perfect time. So yeah, just to reiterate, don't be murder hobos. You're better than that, listener. You're better than that. You listen to this podcast for a reason, okay? Also, just to reiterate, it's not actually that different from a normal campaign.
True. Just
different stuff is permissible, and there's probably fewer, like, the considerations are different, basically. It's very much, I mean, even heroes are oftentimes like, okay, like, we don't want to get caught doing certain things that we have to do. We don't want to kill certain people still. There will be more killing, probably, and more stealing. But, yeah. Honestly, I think evil campaigns sound fun. I just haven't thought of, like, a really great reason for me to run one, which is why I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, there's a lot of good ideas out there, but yeah, I don't know how well they would transition to like a campaign. That's my problem. Cause like the one that I mentioned earlier where essentially, you know, you have a bunch of like a multiverse, like being able to be like the main villain of the world that you come from sounds kind of interesting to me. Like you conquered that world. Now you're in a new place and then you've got maybe rivals, maybe companions. Who knows?
Are you asking me to run an evil Marvel campaign? Cause I would do that.
Like, I don't know if I'd want to be a Marvel villain, though, personally.
Trong does.
Yeah, but...
Trong, who had played Doom in my first one and wants to play a Doombot in my next one.
Well, yeah, of course he does, yeah.
I mean, you wanted to play Carnage. Admittedly, good Carnage.
Yeah, good Carnage.
But, yeah, man. Any other thoughts?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, since we haven't played a campaign like that, I don't know what sort of elements we would have that would be very unique for this, other than I can think of, like, if you do have your villains go and do too much shit, they might, you know, periodically have to go into, like, the typical villain hiding. so they might have, like, an underground base or whatnot they have to, like, hide in and figure out what they're going to do in the meantime. Because as heroes, you kind of have, like a ticking clock. Like, the villain's going to do something, and even though oftentimes, you know, the GM will, you know, be like, oh, you can't stay and do this too long, but they'll let you do a little bit depending on if it's interesting or whatnot. They'll expand that out. It's not like a hard timer of, like, 3 days always. But, like, as villains, since you're the ones being the proactive ones, you can kind of, like, decide the pace. So I feel like there might be a little bit more downtime and, like, character interaction sometimes for that, but I don't know, like, what else in a campaign you might like see or experience or want to like consider aside from that. That's just a thought I had when we were talking about various things on here.
I mean, I agree. I think it really is considering like the weight of what's happening, right? You got to stay ahead of heroes. You got to stay ahead of fellow crooks because heroes frequently have similar objectives. Crooks don't. They're not naturally going to team up. Hence, they have a good reason to keep your villainous player characters together. And also, you're probably going to run up against like evil organizations and stuff too. And you're, you know, one of the things I would definitely do is your villains plan something and it's the target of another villain group and have your character villains who are villains group. There we go. Like villains as an enemy.
That was totally not confusing at all.
I'm 100% clear in this episode. good times. All right. Let's play us out before I say anything else really confusing.
Okay. So remember to, I got confused. Sorry.
Did you get confused just because you want to make sure we said happy Halloween again? Happy Halloween, everybody.
Oh yeah. There you go. Happy Halloween. No, I was going to, make a hero A and hero or villain B and reference. And then I got confused and started saying the, until next time.
Your brain.
Yeah, my brain just got mixed up.
Abort. Kevin's shit is too confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so remember to play what you love. And until next time, your characters do something epic.
Especially if you're a villain playing a villain disguised as another villain who's trying to kill a different villain who may have killed your villain's villain's villain.
Are you saying my villain looks like a koi fish shoved into an almond cookie?
I am.
Damn it. It's because I tried to do Swamp Thing and failed, isn't it?
No, it has nothing to do with that. I think you'd make a good Swamp Thing.
Do I? I mean, does he talk like that? I literally know nothing about the character.
I usually read him.
Oh, okay. So you imagine he sounds like that. Got it.
I mean, he could.
I was like, how would I make a swamp creature sound? I was like, they probably got a bunch of shit in their mouth.
I feel like he has like a British accent. No. Well, he's a
British
hippie.
Accent. well.
I mean, yeah. Theoretically, he should be from freaking Louisiana, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah. roimperfection@gmail.com to tell me how much I've messed up Swamp Thing's history, because I did not prep Swamp Thing history, and admittedly, I've kind of only read like several of the big arcs. But yeah.
I mean, I was the one that brought in this episode, and clearly I didn't do any research, so I don't know what you're apologizing for. I should
R.O.
be the one.
Imperfection to educate Steve about Swamp Thing.
There we go. All right, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com. Or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.